Ephesians 4:1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we stop for just a moment to look at this verse, one Father of all, and who you are. And we thank you for who you are and what you've done with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and all together. We're just so wonderful and amazed at how this all works out. We pray for wisdom now into your word as we continue. In Christ our Savior's name we pray, amen. And it starts out, says, one God, in verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And I like the teaching here. There's in Scripture, there's doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, as you've heard before. And here is certainly doctrine. It's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body. And it's setting forth some doctrine. But in the midst of where he's giving this, he's writing this to people where? In Ephesus. Okay, so if we go, come on with me over to Ephesus for a minute. And we go over to Ephesus, and what do we see? We see some idolatry that they're coming out of, and Paul is setting forth, God is setting forth some instructions here, not just instructions, but doctrine. And he's going to reprove them, as we see, because of there's something else going on in Ephesus. He's stressing the part of there's one God, one faith, one baptism. And we'll look at some of the, there's influence from Greek and Roman idolatry in Ephesus, the Temple of Diana. And we'll touch on that a little bit too. But I want to teach God's word when he teaches and he says there's one God and one Father. The verse always comes back to me in Colossians. I think it's in Colossians where it says, husbands, love your wives. Doesn't tell you how. He just says, love your wives. Why? Why would he have to say that? What's implied? That the husband won't love his wife. And so that's where he says here, there's one God and Father of all. In 1 Corinthians 8, it says, though there be that are called gods, whether they be in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God and God the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by him. So the doctrine of one Lord and one God has been taught to the Corinthian people there. They needed to be pulled back, and they're being pulled back from idolatry, just like the people in Ephesus are. And that's why he's writing this. And why even bother looking at this? The idea of, I don't like people to come and steal my identity or try to cheat me or attack my family or whatever it is. But we have someone here called Satan who is trying his best to imitate God the Father. And we have Father's Day coming up, and I want to honor not only fathers, but the God and Father of all. How important is that? Remember the prayer that Jesus Christ made in Matthew 6? Says, how did it start? Remember? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, stuff like that, we can gain from this. We can gain richly from how Christ prayed to the Father. And so here Satan is taking and wants to usurp the authority of God the Father. Let's go right go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in studying this, when we study an enemy, we have to know how he works, how he attacks, what's his strong points, what's his weak points. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, or how sly is he? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So those people that are lost, who keeps the gospel from them? Satan does. So he keeps the blinders on so you don't hear the gospel. An unsaved person doesn't hear. But it says, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine into them. Is there a chance that that unsaved person can get that light and say, yeah, I want that light in? Yes, of course. I wanted to see what the NIV had to say about that. And if you go to the NIV in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you can do this on your own time, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about two of the verses. Verse 4, in the NIV, it says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glorious gospel." And you'll probably know what doctrine it's trying to teach when I read this verse. Verse 6 in the NIV says, "For God who said, 'Let the light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Now, there's a doctrine being taught there by the NIV that if you're not familiar with Calvinism, that's what it's teaching. Because if you're unsaved, it says you can't get the light. And he says, and the writer, supposedly Paul, he didn't write this verse, because he says now God has given it to us. So he's dividing us and them. I'll stop there. That's not part. That's a by the way kind of thing. But Satan's intent is not only to stand up and show himself as God, I want to be like the Most High, he said. That's not the only way he does it. He does it through different Bible versions. And that's a whole study in itself. But you have to watch what you're doing. I stand on the King James Bible. And every word therein is true. And so if something veers from the truth in this book, God's Word, then who's behind it? Satan's behind it. And he wants to exalt himself and put himself above God. Turn back with me to Isaiah chapter 14. You've seen heard the verses before, but please look at them. Isaiah chapter 14. And we'll start in verse 13. We'll read just a couple, two verses. But it says, let's go to 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.'" And as we started reading, it says, verse 13, what's the first phrase that comes out of scriptures? Verse 13, someone.
"Thou hast said
in thine heart." He didn't stand up on a podium and say, "I want all you angels now to hear exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to exalt my throne above." No. Satan, the mystery of God, mystery of iniquity, he said it in his heart. He kept it a secret from those people who were following him. He just led the way and didn't tell them his agenda. He had the secret of the mystery of iniquity. But the... I'll keep going for a minute. What I did was, there was, at the end there, he says, "I will be like the..." And we'll see how this all ties together here in Psalms. I'll just read you a couple of verses. In Psalms 83:18 says, "That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth." And I'll tie that one together with Mark 5:7, and it says, and the maniac, the guy that was possessed with devils, Christ comes to him and says, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Satan is working in this maniac guy, and he says he is the Son of the Most High God. Who does he want to be like? God the Father and God the Son. And I'm sure Satan has that evil trinity that I'm not prepared to teach right now, but he wants to take the place of God completely. And he's in for a rude awakening, right? I've read the back of the book, and we win. Is that a song? That's a song, too, isn't it? That's right. I want to be on God's side. But he wants to be worshipped as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Most High God. And back in, you're in Isaiah. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah, I-J. That's how I remember where it's at. Jeremiah chapter 2. And this has been going on for quite a while, since the beginning of time, since Genesis. But Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 26, it says there, "As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, saying to a stock, Thou art my father." Stock is a stump of wood or a piece of wood that might be carved out. "And to a stone, Thou hast brought me forth, for they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, Arise and save us." Well, he's speaking to an idol, a rock that's carved out like some kind of a god, and a piece of wood that's carved out to look like a god that they worship. Verse 28. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble, for according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah." And he's going, these are verses, these aren't doctrinal, these are reproof and correction. In 1 Timothy 3:16, we have the outline for Scripture, and this here fits those. If that's for me, I'm busy. Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord." And so there's doctrine there that they should have known. Israel had fallen from the Scriptures. Someone got in their ear and got into their imagination and caused them. Satan starts working through man, through mankind. And back in Israel's day, it was prevalent. We have the records. But we'll see how that works out. Back even in Christ's day. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, please. And as we're going through time here, as we're studying, we see that Satan's still on top of his game. He is very good at what he does, as the Apostle Paul was when he was Saul. He was very good at what he did. He was the best. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 8. 23:8. It says, let me go back a little bit first. 23, verse 5. "But all their works," the Pharisees, "they do for to be seen of men. They make broad the phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi, be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ," and so on. But the thing that they're doing is they're taking themselves and what? Exalting themselves by that name. Have you ever come across someone and said, hey, brother. And he says, no, no, that's Reverend John. Get out of here. Let me read a verse. There was in Florida, there was one guy, Paul and Rachel. And Paul used to say, hello, Reverend. And you know, he was Catholic all his life and came over to Grace, thank you. And but he would always joke around, hey, Reverend, how you doing, you know? And I always quote this verse to him. Or it says in Psalms 111:9. Remember that verse, 111:9. And it says, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. I'm not taking God's name. Holy and reverend. Reverend means to shake and fear before you, before that person. And so I'll leave reverend alone to the one who deserves it, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so when people take these names upon themselves, and in the Catholic community, the guy that stands up and teaches or pretends to teach or whatever he does, he's called what? Father. And the leader of that community is called the
Pope.
or he's called Holy Father. And then if you go into the monks in the seminaries, some of them, they call them abbots. And an abbot is just another name. I forget what language. But it's another name for father. And so that's all teachers, master. And this is all in a referring to deity. When we say father and master, that refers to deity, what Christ was telling them not to do in Matthew chapter 23 there. So as we go through, Satan starts working in the minds of men, and he starts to bring them along little at a time, as we'll see some more verses. But as he does this, one day he's going to step out of eternity, or out of his shell, and God's going to send him down here to earth, and he's going to appear. And all these little things that he'd been doing here and there, the idols in Jeremiah's day, in Isaiah's day, and so on, everything's going to come to fruition, and he's going to stand up and say, I'm God. And you know what? People are going to buy it. Because they've been getting a little taste here, a little taste there, a little bit here. And in John chapter 8, please, verse 39. He is a God. Satan is the God of this world, it says. In John chapter 8, John. There we go. 8:39. And it says, well, that's chapter 7. That's not good. There we go. 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So they used the right terminology. We have one father, God. So everything was proper there. But you know what? They were deceived into believing that just because their heritage came from Abraham, they were Jewish. Just because they were Jewish, they figured they were in good. And what did the Lord respond to them? Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my words? They weren't listening. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. How many fathers do you have? One. One God and Father. Before you had God as your father, who did you have as a father? Satan. He's the father. He's the God of this world. And he is the, it says he is the, your father, the devil. He was your father from birth. You have a natural father. And then you have imitation fathers that stand up and say, you call me father. You call me pope. You call me this and that, abbot, whatever it is. Or you call me reverend. They're all trying to do is step into the deity and the recognition that God had, and that's called pride. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let's get it interesting here for a minute. Acts chapter 19. And so we continue in time. We're in the book of Acts now, and this is the Apostle Paul, and we have the idea of the account of his travel to Ephesus, which is a very interesting book. And this week, Ephesians is my favorite book. Next week, it might be another book. But Ephesians is just, it's got a ring to it. And it says in Acts 19, verse 27, and it says there, so that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. Okay, now we have a Diana. We have a female goddess, mythological creature. And so it says these guys here, Paul's coming and says there's no gods made by hands. And these guys here, that's their craft. They make these little gods and out of silver and they sell them and whatever. And this is great because the whole world wants piece of this. And so they don't like Paul or his gospel. And it says in there, the guy that's making his defense for the making the idols, it says he calls her the great goddess. How does he know that she's great? I mean, I'm trying to put myself in his spot. He's defending his wealth. And he says she's going to be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed. Who made her magnificent? Man. Man and his degenerate thinking. In verse 28, and when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. She was their goddess. But not just that. I have to go a little bit further before I explain something here. Verse 34, 1934. But when they knew that he was a Jew, with one voice about the space of 2 hours, cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. You got 2 hours. Have you ever been in an amphitheater where the people are, or a football field or something, where people are just chanting and yelling? And for 2 hours, you know, that could cause a harmonic failure of some structures if you keep, you know, that sound reverberating and everything like that. But this is Paul now in the theater. And I looked up the theater, and it's huge over there in Ephesus. Verse 35. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how the city of Ephesus is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from where? Jupiter. Not the planet. Jupiter is, in mythology, Jupiter is the father of Diana. And so here's the father sending the daughter and being worshipped throughout all the world. Have a little ring to it? You can draw parallels. I started to do it up here, but you can only go so far with this. But the great goddess Diana, and of the image, there's an image. This guy said there's an image that fell down from Jupiter, or Jupiter, another name for Jupiter is Zeus. So you have Greek mythology and Roman theology. The names are, person is the same, the myth is the same, it's just the name. And so in Greek mythology, Diana is called Artemis. And you can get really tangled up with all. I started reading some of the historical stuff about these Greek mythology people. You could get really tangled up into that. It's kind of interesting in a scary way. But anyhow, that's where people, a lot of people are. But here's another little taste. Here you go, humanity. Here's what I'm going to do for you. These are the gods, and this is how I'm going to show myself to you. Satan is working through all this of Greek mythology. And it doesn't stop there. Back up to Acts chapter 14. And it says there in verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb who never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." Oh, these are gods. And they're coming like a man. Now we're getting incarnate. Now things are really getting interesting. The gods are come down, and they called Barnabas what? Jupiter. He's the father figure. And Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Mercurius is the same as Hermes, which means messenger of the gods, small g. And so Paul was the speaker. They called him the messenger. Barnabas maybe was the older guy. And they called him the daddy, the father. So he's the father figure. How is now Satan working? He keeps this thing alive, working in the minds of men. And when they see something authentic that God the Father has done, the Lord has done through Paul, they say, "Oh, this is a god." Oh, you're right, it's a god. It's the true and living God. But they called him, they associated that miracle with their god. They did not know the true God of heaven and earth. But Satan's preparing mankind to accept him. Ecclesiastes 1:9, let me read it. "The thing that has been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." So if it happened back then, could it be happening today? Sure. Ecclesiastes just says there's no new thing under the sun. If it's been there before, it's going to be there again. As time passed, but now and ages to come, in Ecclesiastes 1:9. Some time ago, some years ago, when we started to shake hands with North Korea, I'm not going to get into politics. I just want to tell you something as warning. And there was a handshake, and there was a treaty made with North Korea, with our country. And I was interested in, what is North Korea? You know, who are they? What do they stand for? Why are they isolated? And the reason they're isolated is because of religion, a religion that it's not politics. And what they've done is this, it's a religion. And I'll spell it, it's J-U-C-H-E, and it's pronounced she. And it's counterfeit Christianity. Kim Il-sung is the father. Kim Jong-il is his son. Kim Jong-soko is his, these are married, this is his wife. And we all know Kim Jong-un, which is this guy's son. So Kim Jong-soko is his grandma. Why this is interesting, Kim Tu-sung sets himself up as God the Father. Kim Jong-il is Jesus Christ, God the Son. And this woman, female, is representative of the Holy Spirit. Why they don't like Christianity or the gospel preached in North Korea? Because it'll flatten their country. And that's what they based their thing on. Kim Il-sung, grandfather, was a Baptist missionary. And when he was in China, he saw that the Christians would rather die than worship the emperor. Now, I have a lot of history to try to back that up, but I'm not going to read it all out right now. And so he saw the power of Christianity, how people would rather die than worship someone else. He said, that's for me. That's what he wants. So that's what he started in back in North Korea. And he set this all together. Kim Jong-il, his son, was said to be born on a volcano, Mount Piketty. I think they've had some Olympics there or something. But that on the day he was born, his birth was announced by birds. There was a double rainbow and a birth of a new star. And that's the son of the father. Now, you get the parallel, don't you? It's not hard to see through that. And then there is, since she was related to him, that she got the place of God the Holy Spirit. It's documented. So that's how Satan is working today. They are captive. They cannot hear things from the outside world. They will not let people in. Pamphlets and stuff are burned. By the way, these three people here have their pictures are framed, all three of them, in each house in North Korea. And as you pass that picture, you must bow down to that picture. And if, for chance, your house starts on fire, the first thing you go for to get out of that house is that picture. They worship. By the way, this is the only nation in the world whose head of state is a corpse. He lays in state and as the president and the ruler of North Korea. And as any North Korean dies who follows Xi, they will be reunited in the next life with Kim Il-sung. So he set himself up as God. Wow. Then isn't that, again, not hard to draw parallels to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, sent down from heaven, just like the image that fell down over in Ephesus there. But it says, I happen to know, oh boy, we're going. Ephesians, please, chapter 1. There is one God and Father, and he's designed that he can give us the best grace and love and peace. It says in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. People in Ephesus, through time, had this great temple that they set up, the Temple of Diana. We don't have time to talk about its grandeur, one of the seven wonders of the world. That's where they went. Time and time again, that's what they saw. The Ephesians people saw this. They were probably brought up as children around this. This is the place to go, the mega church of their day. And that's where they went to get their blessings from Diana, because Diana was the goddess of the hunt, the goddess of fertility, and she gave life. And so they wanted their blessings. Paul is writing, God is writing the book of Ephesians to take and wean them off of this idolatrous system and pull them away from the temple of Diana to the true and living God. And many more things. 1:7, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, it's 1:17, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. God the Father wants us to know him. Be simple concerning evil. Know the truth. For through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Paul says in Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, all these things will I give thee if you will bow down and worship me. That's Satan talking to Christ, trying to get him to win him over. He threw his best curveball at Christ and it didn't work. But Paul says, I bow my knees. I'll bow, but I'll bow to the God and Father, God the Father. So as we look through, he says, calls those people that did not believe in him back in his day, you're of your father the devil. He's the same guy that works in this guy, that works in this spiritual, mystical realm there. But all spiritual blessings in heavenly places over in Diana, she gave food, fertility. Heaven was, instead of that, was Mount Olympus. His workmanship, they had their workmanship. They made silver shrines to that Diana. And it's not the temple, the great temple of Diana. It's we are the temple. And we can keep going through. There's probably many more that I didn't put in. But you get the idea. And it says, Ephesians 6, it talks about that battle now. I'm just going to finish up in 30 seconds here. It talks about the battle. And all this here, this is a battle. This is Satan. How do you protect yourself from Satan? Put the armor on. And it says, by which you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Diana is pictured as a huntress with golden arrows. And you fight all the fiery darts of the wicked. There is so much that just goes, I can't get to the end of it. We just got to keep, how much time have we got left? You get the idea, folks. God, there's one God and Father of all who's above all, through all, and in you all. And anything else is a lie, comes directly from Satan's lips and his cohorts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for your word, which is so great. How would we know what to do without it? How would we know how to have eternal life and to protect ourselves from Satan? Thank you for Jesus Christ our Lord, who won the battle for us. And we'll be glad to know more about him and our great God that we'll meet in eternity because of what he did at the cross. And if you've never trusted that Christ died for your sins, do that today. In Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen.